Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Here the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. And so Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I've promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed towards his people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters. And so you will plunder the Egyptians. Amen. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look through this passage. We're told in Scripture that one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years to us. Well, certainly in the case of Exodus 3, verse 1, one verse is like 40 years. We're told in Exodus 3, 1 that Moses was tending his father-in-law's flock when he led them to the far side of the wilderness. But Stephen, before he was stoned in Acts chapter 7, verse 30, said that it was after 40 years had passed that an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. And so from the end of chapter 2 to the beginning of chapter 3, 40 years have elapsed in Moses' life. In fact, the whole of Moses' life can be divided into three 40-year segments. In the first 40, Moses thought he was somebody living as he did, a prince in Egypt. The second 40, he was learning what it was to be a nobody, tending his father's flocks in the Midian wilderness. And the final 40 years, he learned what God could do with a nobody. Last week we talked about when Moses fled from Egypt to the Midian wilderness, that produced something of a crisis of identity. Who was Moses? Was he a Hebrew? Was he an Egyptian? What was he to do with his life? Well, 40 years on, and Moses is faced with another crisis of identity. This time it's not his. This time the question is around God and who God is. We don't know why Moses led his flocks to the far side of the wilderness. We just know he did. But it was while he was at Mount Horeb that he saw the incredible sight of a bush on fire and being burned, yet it wasn't being burned up. And we're told that the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses from within the flames of this bush. Now, there's been much discussion as to who or what the angel of the Lord is. Some people have argued that he does appear numerous times in the Old Testament, and some people have argued that he is actually Jesus before his earthly birth in the start of the New Testament, that he is Jesus appearing as the second person of the Trinity. The truth is that we don't know, that Scripture isn't clear. But what we do know is that in each appearance that this angel of the Lord makes, he speaks on behalf of the Lord, as in this case. And so there's definitely a close relationship between the angel of the Lord and God. Now, quite understandably, the sight of a bush on fire but not being consumed by that fire piqued Moses' curiosity. And so he went to have a closer look. And in verse 3, we're told, he said, "I will go over and see this strange sight and why the bush does not burn up." And the Lord was watching as Moses went over for a look. And so he called his name twice, "Moses, Moses," in verse 4. But he prevented Moses from coming any closer to the bush. He was told to take off his sandals because he was standing on holy ground. Now, it's not that there was something particularly special about that bush or that plot of land. It was quite simply God's presence that made that place holy. And the taking off of his sandals was simply a sign of respect. And we see this today, particularly in Far Eastern culture. Muslims today still will take their shoes off when they go into a mosque because they believe the mosque to be holy ground. But the voice from within the bush identified himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And in doing so, he identified Moses not as an Egyptian, not as a Midianite shepherd, but as a Hebrew, someone who was part of the covenant family. And so all those questions over Moses' identity are being answered at this time. But God not only reveals something about Moses, he reveals something very important about himself. we can see from this encounter that God identifies with his people, with the oppressed, with those who are crying out. In verse 7, he said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering." This is who God is. He's concerned about us. He's listening to what we are saying. He sees what is happening in our lives. But we learn something else about God. We learn that the very reason that he's come down and appeared to Moses in this way is to rescue his people. Folks, we take comfort in who God is. In amongst all of the illness and the worry and the anxiety and the bewilderment that I know so many people are experiencing, God is the one who has seen our misery, who has heard our crying, and who is concerned about our suffering. But more than that, he is the one who has come down to rescue us. And not just through the novelty of a burning bush. During that conversation with Moses at that incredible bush, Moses asked for God's name. He said, "Who should I say has sent me?" And God replied, "I am who I am. Tell the Hebrews, I am has sent me," in verse 14. And there is a significance in this name. It's a Hebrew play on words for the name Yahweh. And Yahweh is the name that God had said that he should be known by for all generations. It's actually the name that appears again and again in our Old Testaments, although we have translated that as Lord in small capitals. And the reason we use Lord is because although God has said we should use his name, the Hebrew scribes thought that name too holy to use. And so they kind of merged the name Yahweh and the name Adonai, and they put them together. And that is the name we have translated as Lord. But there's an even greater significance. Because in the New Testament, Jesus repeatedly refers to himself as I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. And whenever he stood before the Sanhedrin in Mark chapter 14 and verse 61, he was asked, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" And he replied, "I am." Knowing full well the significance of what he was saying. Knowing full well that those who were questioning him would know the significance of his answer, so much so that in verse 63 of Mark 14, we're told that the high priest tore his clothes. And so God has come down to us, not just in a burning bush, but through Jesus Christ. And he knows our pain. He has experienced our pain, and he stands with us through our pain. And this is more than just moral support. This is deliverance. God told Moses that he'd come to rescue his people in Exodus 3:8, to lead them to a better land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And this is the good news of the gospel. It is that God has indeed seen our suffering, and he has come down to rescue us. And just as Moses would lead his people out into a promised land, so Jesus is promising to each and every one of us that he too will lead us to a promised land where the tears and the mourning are no more. And all that he requires of us is that we would trust completely in him, that we would be willing to follow him, obedient to him. This is who God is. But who God is has implications for who we are. And it's because God identifies with his people that he sent Moses to them. Moses was to be the expression of God's concern. He was to be the means of their rescue. It is because God is who he is that we ought to be concerned for those around us who are suffering, who are crying out. It's because God is who he is that we have a responsibility to love and to act on God's behalf and at his command in order to ease suffering. And this is each of our responsibilities. It's not something we can farm out to others or expect other people to do for us. We can't escape the fact that we're hoping to elect new elders. So who is it among us who shows this level of concern? Who do we see displaying these same characteristics of God? Who's demonstrating love for God among the people of God? One final thought. What is it that stops us from reaching out as God would have us? What is it that stops us from loving and serving when God calls us? Is it that we feel ill-equipped? Is it that we aren't holy enough in order to approach God? Moses put up excuse after excuse, and yet God made clear that Moses was not being called because of who he was, but who God is. Whom am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And look at how God answers. I will be with you. See, this is all about God. Moses, it doesn't matter who you are. It matters who I am. And to each one of us, when we are called to serve and to love, it doesn't matter who we are, it matters who God is. This is about what God is doing. God simply requires obedience from us, that we would go when we are sent. And there we have the crux of the gospel, obedience. Will we be obedient in following Christ, that we would be led to a promised land? Will we be obedient in associating with the hurting and the oppressed and the destitute? This is the call of God on each of our lives, because this is what reflects the character and the nature of God.